The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real. I always forget yours, Michael.
At Producer Mike 975.
And Producer Mike 975, at Degenerates. Well, no Degenerates today because Jong's not here. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. So this is where we go through all the games, which we'll do real quickly. And we've got Roy Williams here next segment. Talk about this big party we're doing. I'm sure we'll get a little Longhorn talk out of that,
oh,
too.
Oh, that Roy Williams.
Yeah, that Roy Williams.
I thought maybe we were talking about a basketball coach.
No. We had a former football player. All right, so we'll start off with Lions, Jaguars. And once again, the Jags find a way to lose. Another critical Bortles mistake. And the Lions just kind of keep cranking along here and win it 26-19.
Yeah, Lions not bad. Jaguars bad. Big defensive play to seal the deal. But the Lions are, you could argue, they're the best team in the NFC North. I guess they're tied with the Vikings now, but
and those guys are playing. So,
who do you feel better about going forward? The Lions are definitely the hotter of the teams right now.
Yeah, it's that quality competition thing, but I prefer right now. I'd pick the Lions over the Vikings.
I think I would too. I mean, and mostly it comes down to who do you like better at quarterback.
Yeah, that's
and I like Stafford more than I like Bradford.
Colts beat the Titans 24-17.
That
the
was
Colts
my...
always beat the Titans, and more importantly, they covered the 2.5.
Yes, they did. That was my biggest play of actually my biggest NFL play in like the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, I was big on that one
and
too.
And boy, I had my chest all huffed out early
21-0. I didn't even look. I quit watching the game. I was like, ah, this is great. We got this.
And then I had a little bit of uh-oh, because it would have been the kind of loss that you feel for a week or two.
Yep.
And turns out it ended up okay. And Luck just dominates that team. And he did it again.
And that fourth down stop was huge.
Yep.
Giants beat the Bears 22-16. If you were a Giants fan, you were probably a little nervous for most of this game because the Bears were hanging around and were ahead for a lot of it. And Landon Collins, who I don't think gets enough credit,
he's really good.
He's good at football.
But if you were a Bears plus 7 fan like I was, even though RJ tried to tell me he hated it,
yeah,
I still had to go with that number. I think it was 7.5, actually. It just seemed like too many points, and that's maybe a lucky win for the Giants, but that's another win for them. And they're not that far behind the Cowboys.
And that's the thing. As great as the Cowboys have been, the Giants are only 2 games behind them.
Giants may be the biggest surprise in the NFL. Maybe the Raiders more of a surprise.
Yeah, I don't really consider the Giants a surprise because I always kind of expect them to be this good, and then they're not.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised when they're not. But they're playing better football, too, and that's a good sign. Bills beat the Bengals 16-12, and we talked about this game Friday. Both of us kind of said this is the kind of game Rex Ryan usually wins, and I think the Bengals are pretty much done, even though they're not that far back in that division.
You know what, though? That's probably the best thing that could have happened for them, because if they made the playoffs again and lost in the first round, they'd be back where they were the last 5 years, wondering, oh, is Marvin Lewis the right guy? Now they're going to get a new head coach, and they'll be able to move on. And I don't know if they're going to get one better than Marvin Lewis, but at least they won't have the awkwardness of do we keep him, do we let him go.
Well, who are the Texans going to beat in the first round if the Bengals don't make the
they're
playoffs?
They're not going to do that this year.
Okay. Here's one I admit I didn't see coming. The Buccaneers go in and beat the Chiefs 19-17. And, yeah, every now and then the Chiefs throw in a turd, and this was kind of one of them. I mean, they missed Marcus Peters in that game too.
No doubt they missed Marcus Peters. But, yeah, that was another game where the line just didn't seem right, go over a touchdown. And, you know, the Chiefs, Alex Smith made a really bonehead decision at the end of that game, which is something that they don't do very often. He threw a pick in the end zone.
Yeah,
I mean, they're usually just so much more careful with that ball, and it was a really terrible play call. It just it was un-Chiefs-like and cost them.
Rams had a 10-0 lead in the fourth quarter, and the Dolphins come up with two touchdowns, and Ryan Tannehill was very good for two drives after being really bad for most of that game.
Yeah, I remember saying that the Rams, the best thing that they could, the reason why the Rams had a chance to win this game was they can take away your running game. And if you take away the running game and ask Ryan Tannehill to beat you, I feel pretty good about that. And for 3.5 quarters, it looked like the Rams had done exactly that because Ryan Tannehill was not figuring anything out. And then, like you said, the last two drives, he puts it together and they get a win.
And good for him because that's really the first time he's done something clutch in his entire career. No doubt. So, and the Dolphins, don't look now, they're 6-4. I'm not ready to start singing their praises yet. But they're playing better football.
I mean, they're in position to get a possible playoff spot at this point.
They remind me a lot of the Texans. I look at some of those games like, how the hell did you win that? But Vikings beat the Cardinals 30-24. This is another one that I like the Vikings in this game. And I just think the Cardinals are not the same team. And they're just not showing any signs of getting better. And they're 4-5-1 now, and they're kind of in trouble.
Yeah, I don't like them either. I'm with you. I just don't think they're that good.
We'll talk more about the Cowboys a little bit later, but
they are good.
They are good. I think you can make a case that right now they're the best team in football. Ooh. And I think you can.
Well, you can make a case. I'd argue it.
Yeah,
you can make a case.
I'll tell you what. I think they're as complete a team as anybody in football right now. I mean, they've got the best running game. Dak Prescott just keeps getting better and better every week. Every time they ask him to do more, he does it. And defensively, they kind of remind me of the Patriots defensively. They're good enough.
Agree with that.
And because they can run the ball.
Neutral field, them or Pats?
Right now, until Cowboys show me somebody can beat them, I'm taking the Cowboys.
Neutral field, them or Seahawks?
I'll take them over the Seahawks right now.
So that's the two teams I'll take over the Cowboys right now.
Yeah, and it's not so much the Ravens game, because I think the Ravens record and their stats are a little inflated.
Well, I also think when they announced an hour and a half before the game that Jimmy Smith wasn't playing, that completely changed everything. And the Ravens secondary without Jimmy Smith is basically a bunch of undrafted free agents that Dez Bryant was dragging for 6 yards and touchdowns. I mean, just dominating them. Without him, that was pretty much that was a gut punch for the Ravens. They weren't going to be able to keep up with them without Jimmy Smith. He's the most valuable guy to that defense.
Well, I still think going in and beating Pittsburgh the week before was a game that won it for me. And the Ravens played good run defense, and they slowed Elliott down. He still had a good game. And I'm tired of trying to poke holes in this team until they
they're very good.
Until they show me that they aren't what they look like right now, I'm not going to do it. Browns lose to the Steelers 24-9. I don't think there needs to be anything else said there.
Nothing else necessary.
Seahawks beat the Eagles 26-15, and there was an awful lot of I hope Nelson Aguilar dies stuff from Eagle fans.
Well, he was really awful, but I mean, let's not act like Carson Wentz is some stud or anything like that.
I would like to see his numbers if his guys could actually hold on to the football, though.
Yeah.
Because I think that has a lot to do with it. But that's just a tough place to play. And I actually think the Eagles are a pretty good team. You're going to go in and beat Seattle. You've got to play a perfect game and at least play your best. And then finally, the Redskins beat the Packers last night, which the best part about
beat
that.
Them. They beat the crap out of
the
them.
The best part about that was the over.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hammered that over.
But I think we can all agree the Packers they're not a good team. They're not a playoff team. This is one of those years where they're just not, they're not the team that we thought they were.
And they're getting worse each week.
Yep.
That's the thing. It's not that you look at them and say, well, they might be able to turn it around. It's like, no, these guys are getting worse and worse each week. Yeah.
Sometimes you see a team that you're used to being good year in and year out, and it takes a while to realize that they're not good. I think Arizona is that right now, and Green Bay is that right now. The expectations were so high, and everyone was so convinced that those were teams that would be contending. I think now we're 10 games in. You can look at those teams and go, nope, they're just not that good.
Yeah, and it's always harder to accept with teams like that.
It is.
That you know are going in.
Yeah, if this was the Lions and the Rams, no one would have a problem saying, yeah, they're not that good. But because it's Arizona and Green Bay, and the expectations preseason were higher, no one's willing to admit that they're just not that good. And I think both of them, this week was a make-or-break week for both those teams, and they both broke.
All right, guys, we got to tell you about slashmypayments.com.
Oh, I'm about to use these guys too.
Yeah.
Once I get my car fixed.
If you're driving a car, you most likely have a car payment. We all do. It's part of life. How would you like to get those payments reduced? Car dealers make most of their profit off your loan. They mark up your rate and sometimes 2 to 3 points over what you really qualify for. And here's what they've done recently for some of their clients. They dropped the rate from 9.09% to 3.74%. They dropped one payment $110 per month and another $43 per month. If you have a rate of 3% or higher, you really should apply because they can change your entire financial situation.
Yep, and it's easy. Go to slashmypayments.com and let the team over there at Ignition Financial help you find the rate you deserve and lower your monthly payments. You deserve the rate that your credit history's earned you. Why let the dealer make that money, make that profit off of you? Why keep making that higher payment when you could make a more affordable one? It's simple and easy. It takes a couple minutes to apply. Slashmypayments.com. You just go there, enter our promo code BLITZ at the top of the application, and you're on your way. With approved credit, other exclusions and or restrictions may apply. That's slashmypayments.com.
RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Expecting a guest here, so hopefully that will happen. It's kind of a bummer here.
What's a bummer?
Texter says we lost a longtime blitzer in a car accident this weekend. Bobby Westmoreland left behind his 3-year-old Max and his wife Heather. He was in the Field of Bronze that you guys play on Local Music Tuesdays. That sucks.
That does suck, man. Bummer.
Yeah. Well,
bring me down, Fred.
Well, I'm just passing it on. That's unfortunate. But all right. Well.
Mr. Salad Fingers says, apparently AJ thinks Charlie Strong doesn't deserve a full chance of 5 years like any other coach. I mean, I'll go back to what I said earlier. What other coach, any coach, at a major power football school can have losing seasons 3 straight years to start his career there and keep the job for 2 more? It would be unprecedented. You don't get 5 years if you show no progress in your first 3. And the last 3 years they're not even close to not only are they not close to the Texas standard, they're not close to what Mac was doing. I mean, Mac had one losing season. One. The entire time he was at Texas, the 15 years he was there, he went 5-7 one time. And that was, by the way, coming off a national championship game appearance and losing Major Apple, or not Major Apple, losing Colt McCoy, went 5-7, rebounded to go 8-5, then went 9-4, 9-5 his last 2 years, still got fired. Still got fired. Charlie Strong has lost as many games in almost 3 years. It took Mack Brown 9 years to lose the amount of games that Charlie Strong has lost at Texas. 9 years before he lost as many as Charlie's lost in almost 3. I understand wanting to give the guy another chance. It's just, I think he should get another chance at a different school. But you cannot continue to do that. For 3 years, 3 straight years at Texas, you can't do it.
You got to show progress at some point. You got to show progress. And that's, if not, I mean, this is a regression. Losing to Kansas is a complete regression. There's no way around it. You can't do that at Texas under any circumstances.
You know how many times Mack lost to Texas?
Kansas, you mean?
Or, yeah, how many times they lost
he
to
Kansas? He almost lost once when Kansas was good.
He did.
Because I remember Mangino getting mad at a call afterwards.
Vince Young miracled him that game.
Yeah. BCS.
Yeah.
I remember that game. And it's – I don't think you can – in today's world, you can't say, I'm giving a guy 5 years.
It doesn't happen. You don't get 5 years anymore. That's old school. That's 15, 20 years ago. I mean, in today's football landscape, if you go 5 losing seasons, it's hard to get your program built back up. It's really hard.
And it's easy to become irrelevant. And guess what? Texas has become irrelevant.
He took Mac's 8-win team. He got handed off an 8-win team and has not been bowl eligible since. That's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. If you're going to fire a guy for not winning 10 games, you know, a few years in a row, you can't keep a guy who can't go 500 in 3 years. You just can't.
Yeah, and I thought part of the problem, too, is you have to make good coaching hires, which I don't think he's done.
No, certainly but, you know, not a lot of it is because he brought his Louisville staff.
Yeah, and it's a different game.
Loyalty is a big deal. I get it. I understand why he wanted to do it. But sometimes you have to get, and I don't know because I have a hard time because I don't want it to say like, you know, Tom Herman shouldn't bring any of his assistants, but do I think he should bring his entire staff? Probably not. He should probably get there and I honestly assume if he did take the Texas job, that one of the two coordinators there now would get the head coaching job at UH, and I think they would deserve it, and I think they'd be good coaches. I think he would probably take the other one with him, and then he would hire a new staff around that. And I mean, I don't have any inside source on that, but
yeah.
That's normally what you do. You don't bring an entire staff from a non-Power 5 team because you get hired and bring your entire non-Power 5 staff with you. You usually go out and hire some guys who have accomplished a little bit more to surround yourself with. And that's what a smart guy would do.
210 says, Texas Bowl 7-6. No, they lost that game. They were 6-7 that year. In fact, they got drilled in that game.
Yeah, they've not finished 500.
So
they've not. Yeah, if this were any Power 5 school, I think there'd be heat on him. If he went to Iowa State and was losing more than he won for 3 straight years, there'd be heat. He'd probably keep his job. But that's part of the deal. When you take a big-time job for big-time money, you've got to perform. And being a nice guy isn't enough.
You know what's going to happen if Tom Herman goes there and has the same record for 3 years?
Exact same thing.
He's going to get fired, too. There's not a doubt.
And he should.
Yeah.
And listen, you know me, Fred. I've been a supporter of Charlie Strong.
So have I.
I've been a guy. I want to see Charlie Strong succeed. But at some point, and I said this, we talked about this the other day. If he were to win out, you know, maybe they could have justified keeping him around. Maybe if he wins out and wins a crappy bowl game, maybe. But then they lost to Kansas. And then it became that's another year where you've got a losing record in the Big 12. You've almost assured yourself a losing record overall again. You just can't. You cannot keep that guy. No matter how good of a guy he is, no matter how great of a leader he is, you can't get around that.
And that's the thing. Trying to win the right way, that's what you want to see. But the reality is you have to win. you have to get results on the field. Yeah. And, it's just
and Lamont
happening.
Brings up another point. AJ's talking about bowl games. Try NFL draft picks in 3 years, maybe 10. Yeah, he's not had much, but a lot of that, to be fair, is not his. That's Mac's guys. But you also saw most of the time Mac was there, guys were going to the NFL, and Charlie didn't nurture enough of those guys to get them to become NFL-level prospects. I mean, they had some pretty good talent there. So there's just too much wrong.
One NFL game we didn't mention in the recap was 49ers-Patriots, but not really much to say about that other than 49ers hung around a lot longer than I thought they would, and then they got trashed. So,
I'm Steven, says, it just kills y'all to say something nice about the Bucks. LOL. I mean, I don't think the Bucks are that good, but they got to win. So that's nice.
Yeah. I don't know how it would kill us.
No,
yeah,
it's
funny because people, and especially people are fans of teams, like Dolphin guy is all putting his chest out today. You were wrong. You were wrong. In reality, in everything in life, and I don't know, I'm not going to say the Dolphins are good now because they're 6-4. I think they're very much like the Texans in that, yeah, they've gotten through a couple of games and one that you look at and you go, okay, Phillip Rivers throws four picks, but they're winning those games. That's good. They're showing improvement, and I think that's a positive. I think they're better than I gave them credit for earlier. But the reality is, anything in life, especially in sports, man, you got to let things play out over the season. You go in with an idea and a thought, and I think there's too many people out there who just lock into what they're going to believe and they'll never change it. But as the season plays out, as guys improve, as coaches improve, things can change, and your opinion can change. I'll give you an example. Let's say you meet this girl or guy, either whatever you're into, ladies, it may
Let's
be a
make it a guy.
Okay, either way. The perfect one for you.
Michael Carroll, you still have that girlfriend?
I do.
Okay, let's say you meet this girl, the perfect one for
She's smart, she's funny.
She's all those things, right?
She's beautiful.
Right, right.
You have a great time together, and the first 3 weeks, everything's great, right? Right. Because that's usually how it works.
Yeah.
And you start...
You guys have a good first 3 weeks?
Yeah, it was great.
Okay.
All right, maybe a good 6 months even.
Maybe.
Yeah. And you start thinking this might be the one.
You've been thinking that?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Start thinking that.
All right, but then you get more information. Like you find out she'd been married before and you didn't know that yet.
Okay.
Well, that's still okay. It's not a deal killer.
No, that's not the end of the world.
But then you find out that she took a hammer to her ex-husband's face in a fit of rage.
It starts to change your mind a little bit,
right? Might change your mind a little, right?
Yeah.
And
or she's like Lorena Bobbitted somebody.
Maybe. Maybe she chopped it off. But we'll just start with the hammer to the face. And got probation for it. So you find that out. And then you hear her on the phone yelling at somebody and you see her temper. As you discover these things, are you still going to have the same opinion or are you going to start reevaluating?
You're going to start changing.
Well, and maybe she's past all that, but you need more time to evaluate that, do you not?
Yeah.
You need to like really see if she's going to take a hammer to your face. Because the worst thing you can do is stick with that opinion and say, oh, she's perfect. Because when you wake up one night with your throat slit, you have only yourself to blame.
Yeah, not ideal.
So things can change over time, and you should, you know, and your opinion should change over time based on what you see and what happens. Same thing with these coaching searches we talked about. When the LSU job opened up, everybody's like, oh, Herman to LSU. It's like, dude, there's so much stuff that can happen that it's pointless to talk about it now. Well, now we're at a stage where Texas is going to be open, LSU is going to be open, UH has one game left. Those are conversations that are happening. So, you know, now it makes more sense. 713-780-ESPN. So we're going to take a quick break here. And we come back, we'll talk to our buddy Stanford Rout.
Did our other interview get bumped?
I'm waiting to hear back. I've texted to find out what's happening. So
guys,
we're working on it.
It's Thanksgiving this week. There's no better combo than turkey and football. Unless you're like me and some of your fantasy football seasons are in the tank, and some of mine quite honestly are. Your family, maybe you're playing with your brother-in-law, won't let you hear the end of it. Maybe that's my life right now. Don't worry, it's never too late to save your season and win huge money at DraftKings. DraftKings.com. Now that's something to be thankful for, guys. DraftKings is the destination for one-week fantasy football, which means no season-long commitments to busts and bench warmers. You're not combing the waiver wire in the middle of the night trying to make up for some broken down running back. It's a brand new season every week at DraftKings. Just pick your contest, draft your team, and follow the action live. You can renew rivalries with friends and family every week if you like, and that'll give you something to talk about at the dinner table. Or try the 50-50 contest. The top half of all entries win money. Even if your current fantasy team is cooked, you can still win big money at every week at DraftKings. Use the code Houston at DraftKings.com now. You'll play for free with your first deposit. That's Houston to play free for your share of over $100,000 in total prizes this weekend. Get to DraftKings.com now. DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See the website for details. The website is DraftKings.com.
This is The Blitz on ESPN. 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number, but right now, got our buddy Stanford Rao joining us, former UH cornerback, former Raider cornerback, briefly Texan. So
he came in with his chest puffed out.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, I know y'all are going to give it to me.
He's walking in. I don't know. He got Facebook Live going or something, but he's like, yeah. What'd y'all think about that game? Not knowing damn well the UH game happened on Thursday night, and it's been about 150 football games since then. Stanford's still talking about, what'd y'all think about that game?
Hey, I'm happy about my Cougs. I'm happy. I'm a little sad because what might be ensuing when these schools start throwing the dump truck at my man, but I'm happy for U of H, though.
That's really been a heavy topic of conversation for us today. Do you think at this point the win and, you know, obviously the schools that are at the top of the hot seat charts, Texas and LSU, both lost games over the weekend, and games that they were expected to win, and both of them lost, and that's probably going to open up a couple jobs for sure.
Definitely.
That were even it borderline at best. Do you think that kind of seals the deal for Tom Herman here?
I look at it like this. Anybody that has a problem with a coach leaving to go to a bigger university, a bigger conference, a bigger platform, I would ask them the same thing, that if they had that opportunity at their job, they probably would do the same thing. I'd be surprised, honestly, if he stays. I want him to stay, but just knowing what he wants to accomplish and knowing that every man wants to get to the top of the heap within their field, in their industry, their job, whatever you want to call it, that's going to be a very, very hard thing for him to not at least take a long, hard look at LSU, Texas, maybe USC if that job actually winds up getting open. I don't think it will, though. So it's going to be very difficult for him not to take a long, hard look at those schools.
And I think by now, from a UH perspective, they've done a pretty good job with coach hiring. So, you know, that's life there. They'll just have to get somebody else. And there's a pretty good basis there to continue to be successful. Let's talk a little bit about this game tonight because
Oh, yeah.
So you're excited about this, are you?
Yes, I am. Good game, Mexico City. And I think we got a matchup of two teams that may very well be in the AFC title game. And then one will be representing in the Super Bowl down here in Houston.
You're still on that, huh?
You got the Raiders, who were arguably the second best team in the AFC right now.
I believe that.
You got the Texans, who very well could be in the Super Bowl playing at home in February. How is it not a matchup of two?
You realize that for the Texans to play in the Super Bowl, they will have to beat a playoff team. Multiple playoff teams.
Yes, I understand.
That's going to be difficult for them.
Yes, I understand that. I could make the same argument about Oakland, though. They haven't beat a winning team all season other than Denver, and Denver was pretty beat up when they played them.
I think the things I want to see out of the Texans are just some progress, man. I don't even care if they lose the game. If the offense actually goes out there and does something and Brock Osweiler actually, you know, makes some plays and, despite what Bill O'Brien says, actually has some stats, yeah, I'd feel better about this team moving forward, because if they can win a game that way against a good team, that would be awesome. I'll take a 35-33 loss just knowing they got into that kind of game.
They were able to put some points on the board.
But I've not seen anything out of this team that indicates that if another team scores 35 points, they have any prayer of being within 20.
No, and honestly, in all honesty, I see the same exact thing. I don't really see too much cohesion within this offense. Brock does not appear to be a franchise quarterback, albeit they paid him like one. But you got to dance with the girl that took you to the party. So you might as well go ahead and go down swinging with Brock. I think that the defense is still doing well, even though without J.J. Watt, I think they've still come together. They banded together well. And I think that if Brock can shore up a few things, it's going to be real hard with Khalil Mack on his back. But if he can shore up a few things, the Texans offense still has the ability to be good. You still got DeAndre Hopkins. You still got Will Fuller. Got Lamar Miller in the backfield. Fedorowicz is coming on. If he can shore up some things, they still have a shot. Now, will he shore up those things? I wouldn't bet my money on it, but anything is possible.
Well, Fuller, you mentioned him. He hasn't really been healthy since the first few weeks of the season. And how much do you think that affects the offense that they don't have that over-the-top weapon who can make a few plays and then drop a big ball every game?
Oh, that affects them so much, because anytime you're going against a team that has one talented receiver, one dynamic receiver, like my man DeAndre Hopkins, it's great for the offense, but as a defender, as a D coordinator, it's actually pretty simple, because we can just roll the coverage to his side of the field, and then we can man up everybody else, and we dare you to beat us with your left hand, per se, your second receiver, your third receiver. And that's really what's going on in Cincinnati right now. A.J. Green is now at the top of the league as far as elite receivers, at least if not top three. So Mohamed Sanu and Marvin Jones both leaving the free agency now puts all the onus on him. And, yeah, he's a great receiver. But whenever the defense can key to you, they can double team. And in key moments, fourth quarter, overtime, whatever you want to call it, all the defense has to do is just keep you from getting off. That's it. They can go and they can man up everybody else. And it's pretty much just going to be a stonewall all game long whenever the defense really wants to decide to get off the field. And I think without Will Fuller to take the top off the defense, or without a number two or number three, because Braxton Miller still has not gotten where he needs to be at in the slot, without that, it's going to be very difficult in the pass game.
One more about that, and then I want to ask you something general. But do you think DeAndre Hopkins is playing well? I know he's facing a lot of double teams, but he also doesn't seem to be going up and getting the ball, fighting for it quite the same way, making some of the plays he made last year. And a lot of that's on Osweiler for not putting in the same place, but it just looks to me like he's not winning as many of those battles as he won last year with cornerbacks.
I could go out on a limb here and say that I think DeAndre Hopkins actually would prefer the quarterback carousel that they had going on last year over Brock right now.
I think it's pretty obvious that he does.
Yeah, I could make an argument to say that. But, yes, I see what you mean, Fred, about him not winning matchups. But also, we also have to remember, DeAndre Hopkins is not a burner. He's not a burner. He's a possession receiver that goes up for the ball and can jump out of the gym. He's not a guy that's going to outrun you. He's not even a guy who's overly tall. I think he's, what, 6 foot, 6'1"? He's not really, really big. He's, what, maybe 200, 205, something like that. So you have to remember that he's not going to be a guy that you see breaking the game. He's not going to see a guy – you're not going to see a five-yard hitch or slant go to the house. You're going to see big catches in traffic. You're going to see him jumping over guys. And I think that with the inconsistency they've had at the one position of quarterback this year, because they've only had one guy in a quarterback, the inconsistency they've had from that one quarterback I think has plagued him this year. And last year you had Hoyer. You had that quarterback carousel that was going on last year. They still were able to get the ball to him. They may not have been elite quarterbacks. Obviously they weren't. But they were still able to get the ball to him. And I think right now Brock is struggling to get it to him.
Everybody's making a big deal out of the altitude in Mexico City. I know you played in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
How much of a difference does that really make? And I know this is even higher, so I think obviously maybe we'll see a 75-yard field goal. But other than that, as a player, what kind of a difference did it make playing in Denver?
That's a little tough for me to answer that, and I'll tell you why. Because I used to run track back in college, so I was used to always being in great shape. Now, I never had issues in Denver. I never did. Maybe the first two series, if they come out in no huddle and they're trying to throw the ball, you might get a little winded, something like that. But after the first two series, it pretty much sets in. Now, obviously, you got guys like Ryan Clark and other guys that with the sickle cell trait, and obviously, it's pretty much a signing your death certificate for guys like that playing in that high altitude. But it was never really an issue for me. Now, I can't speak for everybody else. Obviously, it does make a difference. Look at baseball. You know, like you just said, the ball travels quicker in the thin air, maybe a 75-yard field goal, but it was never an issue for me.
All right, that's Stanford route. Former Raider, former Texan. Real quickly, prediction on the game tonight?
Oh, man, y'all really put me on it. I predict it is going to be a tie, 27-27.
Get out of here. Just leave.
Yeah, that's it. You're done. You're done. We'll be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
November is Movember. We're raising funds to help men battle their biggest health issues. Visit Movember.com.
Brought to you by the Boardroom Salon and Man Centers. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we're back. It's a football Tuesday at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Join the Blitz for happy hour at the River Park Shopping Center location on 59 and 99. We'll broadcast live starting at 4, then at 6, Houston Texans Quentin Demps joins the show to talk everything football. And hopefully have some positive things to talk about. Although if it goes the way it has, where he goes on their show and they lose, then he'll come on our show and they'll win next week.
Yeah.
It's pretty much how it works. All right, time for the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
All right, we go to Loyola University in Maryland, where student government leaders faced a barrage of pressure from university administration to change the name, the theme of a senior class party. They do four every year, and they have these themes, right? I'm guessing it was toga party in my day, but whatever. Well, this one, the university administration described as very alienating, divisive, harmful, and against the university's core values. Care to guess what the theme was?
No clue.
America.
Oh, okay.
So an America-themed party, and this is all because Donald Trump got elected, even though this was planned long before he was elected, is alienating, divisive, and harmful, and against the core values. Are you not located in America? I'm a little concerned here. Multiple student government representatives confirmed the emails, and some student government members wondered if they should get rid of the idea if Donald Trump won, because they were afraid that that might give the wrong idea. How did that make America a bad thing? But they went ahead with it. The university's executive vice president sent an email to two of the members claiming that she talked with a number of students and heard from faculty members about the party. None of it is positive, and it sounds very alienating, divisive, and harmful. I encourage you to reconsider this plan in light of the legitimate concerns raised by so many.
Well,
we have made progress in providing a welcoming climate on campus. And do we want to reverse that progress with a theme that divides us? Okay. Yeah, she, one of the dean of students tried to pressure him, says it provides an opportunity for students to dress or behave in a way that offends or oppresses others. Okay. Even one this is
where we are now.
This is the safe space part. Even one negative event, especially with social media, can cause the campus community to feel unsafe. It can be shared with potential students, which can have an effect on admissions and indeed can be the defining incident for the class of 2017.
I hate everyone. I do.
Here's what the kid said. I was amazed and shocked at not only the reaction and lack of confidence in the administration and our student government, but how they handled everything, including some of the rude things said about our organization. It's quite disgusting how people feel and see the word America as something that is discriminatory. We should see the theme America as a way to forget political divide and come together as a country and class and celebrate all we have accomplished.
So ridiculous.
That is what ended up happening, yet we didn't have the support of the people in our class and administration itself. Yeah, that's it. America. An America-themed party is now divisive. That's just a fail. I'm college campuses today, honestly, thank God I'm not teaching anymore. Especially not, I mean, I would have written my own article about this and probably gotten fired for it.
Yeah.
I said you're a bunch of dickweeds. Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
I hope that woman goes out and drinks a lot tonight.
It's a sad place we live in now, Fred.
It really is.
It's a damn shame.
Yeah, we can't even, maybe we can't even have a Blitz theme party because somebody will be afraid that there'll be degeneracy and nakedness. And that might happen. So, boy, we can't do that. That's offensive.
I hope that one day it shifts the whole other way and you're just allowed, like if someone annoys you or bothers you, you can just punch them in the face. And there's no safe spaces and there's no political correctness. and you can just punch people for everything. You like to double park? I'm going to punch you in the face.
Oh, you like to text and drive and lane drift? I get to pull over, roll down your window,
punch
boom.
Punch you in the face. Whatever you want.
You want a safe space? Boom, right in your face.
Yeah. I want it to be like the Old West where people just fight. Maybe without the guns because we don't need to die, but at least fight. A duel.
I'm with you.
That's how all things will be settled. And then people will learn how to fight. They'll have to. Otherwise, they're just going to go around getting their ass kicked all the time.
But where's my safe space?
There's no more safe spaces.
I need a trigger warning. I need a trigger warning.
In this world, there's no more safe spaces. I don't know where it is or when it will be, but it's going to – I pray that it comes. Good Lord.
God, people suck. They really do.
That's why I don't like anybody. Everybody's like, oh, why are you such a jerk? You always talk about how much you hate everybody. Because of stuff like that. No, there's no one worth liking anymore.
That's an American university. In America.
Yeah.
But, oh, an America party's divisive. Okay. Wonderful.
All right, guys. Well, if you go to an America party here in Texas, you have a beer or two, it's perfectly within your rights to drive home. Law enforcement, they're stepping up their efforts with no refusal weekends. They want to force you to take the breath or blood test. So if your weekend sucked because of a DWI arrest, don't despair. There's still hope, even if you failed those tests the police gave you. Because there's a lot of things about those tests you should know about. They're not accurate. They're not reliable. It's faulty science, really. The police breath test machine isn't a warranted fit for breath testing on humans. It makes temperature assumptions that create artificially high results and destroys the evidence that it checked, making rechecking and proving your innocence impossible. Same with the blood test. They're not testing your actual blood like a medical doctor would do. They're testing the air above it. It's a very indirect, very circumstantial test for alcohol. That's where attorney Gary Trichter comes in. He's a DWI specialist, one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the entire state, and he's right here in Houston. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI, DUI, or boating while intoxicated, you need to call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now. It's 713-524-1010 or visit texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.